and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, I'm thankful you tuned in to broadcasting in this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 7. Verse number one, Matthew 7, verse number one, hallmark passage. I dare say the most abused passage in the scripture. The most misused, probably the most quoted, sad to say. A passage that is taken by folks and misused for justification for sin. That's just the bottom line of it. A passage that or a verse, that's taken and that is quoted, but never finished with the subject. In the few words of the beginning of it, men and women thinks that it means a certain thing, and it doesn't mean that at all. The passage here, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." And so if we just took those words stand alone, as so many people do, and as maybe you don't believe so now, but have done in the past, I understand that. I've done the same thing. Judge not that you be not judged. It would have us to take up a position of live and let live. The thing is what needs to be understood is that, and especially in our country, folks have freedom. We have freedom of speech, supposedly, and then we have freedom to do what is in the bounds of the law and the law of the land, and understand that some things that are legal according to the law of the land are not legal, are not lawful, are not okay before the Lord. Murder of babies has been legalized in our country, in our land, but it is still sinful against the Lord. But this of judgment is so misunderstood. And the thing is even in someone saying, well, don't judge me in what I do. Don't you have an opinion about what I do? Don't you judge me? Don't you differ with me of what I think about what I'm going to do. And so they think that that's the end of it. But judgment comes from God. And so what we need to understand is that the judgments of the Lord stand sure and solid. And what God has judged to be right, to be wrong, to be righteous, and to be sinful, it's established. There's just no debate, because the Lord establishes that plummet line of truth indeed. And so to say, to make no judgment, the very person that is that has this opinion about don't you judge me, or in other words, don't you disagree with me, has already made a judgment themselves. They say they are right. And nobody has the privilege, no one has the authority, no one has the place to tell them that they're wrong. Don't you judge me. Judge not, lest you be judged. The other thing would be that people would say, well, I know I'm guilty of the things that I do, therefore I'm not going to tell anybody else about anything, because I know I'm guilty of this, that, and the other. They want their sin. Therefore, they're not going to talk to anybody else about anything that's right. We live in a day where parents say, well, I did dope, and I was promiscuous, and I was this, and I was that, and I was the other. I was a drank and alcohol and running around and all that. So since I did it, I can't tell my kids not to do it. The thing is what we think is not the basis for judgment, but what is right from the Lord. And understand this, there's two aspects of judgment. There's the making of the call, the determination of the facts, and looking upon those against what God says is wicked and evil and righteous, and making the call that this or that or the other lines up or is against what God says. There's that facet of judgment, that first part of judgment. The other facet of judgment is the meeting out of punishment. Okay, so it's noted, and we see it by the law of our land. When someone stands before a judge, the first thing a judge does is figure out if they're guilty or not. That's what's supposed to happen. Sometimes there's a trial. Sometimes the judge just takes care of that determination. Well, both in a trial, but sometimes there's a jury, and the jury of peers determines whether the person is has infringed the law or guilty of an infraction of the law. So there's that first facet where the judge or a jury determines whether the person is guilty or not. That's judgment. Okay. The second facet of judgment is the meeting out of the penalty when they are found to be guilty. So a jury that has determined that someone is guilty of breaking the law many times is involved with the penalty that they will have to endure or pay because of breaking that law. And understand, the judgments that mankind makes, other than for these legal things that I've told you about, we don't ever personally or to never inflict the punishment, the second facet. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And so the Lord is in charge of the second part. He is in charge of the second part. What this verse here that says, judge not that ye be not judged, what the Lord is going to be telling us here in this passage is that don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite. The law of the Lord that declares what is evil and what is righteous is for everyone. The laws are for everyone. Not to be meted out like the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and the hypocrites the Lord referred to in the previous chapter, where they say that they bind men with burdens that are grievous to be borne, but they won't touch them with one of their fingers. That's who he's speaking to, is those that'll make judgments about other people, but will not hold themselves to it. What we judge about the behavior and the operation of others, we need to be obedient to also. And so, two facets of judgment. God has made the determination of what the judgments are. It's done. It's his law. And we are to line up with it. Judge not that ye be not judged, Matthew 7, verse 1. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. The law of the Lord is applicable unto all. The law of the Lord says that we should not murder one another. It's good for you, not because I think it, but because God says it. And it's good for me not to murder anybody. Not because you think it, but because God says it. And I make that judgment that murder is wrong because God said so. It's wrong for me and it's wrong for you. But if I say it's wrong for you to murder, and then I go out and murder myself, I murder others myself, then I am found a hypocrite. I know that's an extreme example, but to get the point across, that's what it is. And so for you to judge that murder is wrong because God has declared that it's wrong is a right thing to do. And so we need to teach our children that theft is wrong. It's one thing to say that theft is okay for you to do, but not okay for me to do. You're found to be a hypocrite. God says theft is wrong for everybody, you and me both. And so we should teach our children. Theft is wrong, not because we think so, but because God says it's wrong. And it's wrong for all of us. No justification for it. So he says here, the judgment that we mete out is going to come back to us. What we measure, And how we estimate things, it's going to come to us again. See, all of us have opinions, and we're all entitled to our opinions. But we need to make sure that our opinions line up with what God has said is right and is truth. We live in a day where truth is fallen in the street indeed, where men, our government, wrangle with issue after issue after issue, and just wrangle and rest with things that are seemingly so very simple to be dealt with and determined. If they would just use some common understanding from the Word of God. But it seems like that they find and they wrangle and they wrestle and there's just no answer. Why? Because they're looking at self-wisdom. They're looking at judgment and understanding and pursuit of what's right from within. No basis for truth. Pilate asked the Lord, "What is truth?" Well, Jesus is the truth. God Almighty, what He has said and established for mankind is the truth. What the Lord says here in the Sermon on the Mount is the truth that you and I need. What the Lord gives us in the book of Proverbs and the rest of the scriptures altogether too, what He gives us in the Ten Commandments is the truth that we need, the judgments of God. God says some things are wicked, and that's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's wicked. And so when the Lord says it's wicked and wickedness and sinful against Him, it's so for all of us. And when the Lord says it's right and righteous and just, it is right for all of us. He says, judge not that you be not judged. He said, He's not saying don't ever make a judgment, because the thing is we all do. We all have opinions, but they need to line up with Him. He says it's going to come back to you. And then He goes on here to give some more understanding and instruction about it. But I want to take this time to mention this to you. The judgment of God is that sin and iniquity is against Him, and that we are all sinners, guilty of sinning against a holy and righteous God. You have your sins and I have mine, and you're responsible for yours and I'm responsible for mine. And what is the answer that we will give for our sins before God? The Lord makes it very clear in the scripture that we have no answer. We have no payment. We have no way to make it right. The only way it can be paid for is by the precious blood, the suffering and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. That is the judgment of God, that sinners are saved only and by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the judgment. I declare it unto you, believing it wholeheartedly to be true. But it is not true because I say so. It's true because God says so. He's made that judgment. I pray that you'll repent of your sins and believe and trust in His Son, the Savior, the only Savior in the world. I see that our time has passed for now. May our Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.